Together in our Bibles tonight to Galatians chapter 3, and the remaining time that we have, I want to conclude this morning's message by sharing with you the final point in verses 13 through 14 that I believe is the climax of Paul's argument that he makes to the Galatian people regarding the fact that we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Justification, as we said in the beginning of our series, is Jesus Christ's righteousness imputed to our account. There are a lot of other fancy definitions that theologians have given to justification, but that's it in a nutshell. It is Jesus Christ's righteousness imputed to my account. My righteousness is worthless. The Bible says it's on the level of filthy rags. That's my righteousness. So that's going to be of no avail. Therefore, I must have righteousness in order to dwell with the Lord in heaven. How am I going to get that righteousness? It is by faith in Jesus Christ. And at that moment of salvation, I am justified freely by His grace. Righteousness is imputed to my account. And when God the Father looks on poor Todd Brainerd, He sees Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? This, folks, is the positive hope that we have. It is the positive hope that we have. We are in Christ Jesus. I want us to look at verses 13, 14 in the few minutes that we have remaining in our service tonight as we look at this positive hope in Christ. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you bless in these remaining minutes that we have tonight your precious word. Lord, we look to thee and we find salvation by grace. We find justification. We find sanctification. We find wisdom and understanding. We find all that we need in Jesus Christ. Lord, we have a positive hope in your Son and our Savior. Lord, help us as we live in these dark days not to lose hope. Help us, Father, not to be discouraged, but help us, Father, to lift up our hearts in praise and adoration for all that you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray, dear Father, that we might anchor our souls in the firm doctrine that you have provided for us here. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're told here in verse 13 that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, I want us to see there, who is us? Who is us? Many people say, well, we were not under the law, therefore the law has nothing to do with us. Well, the Bible makes very clear that Jesus Christ redeemed us from the law. The Galatians, for the most part, were not Jews, but what? Gentiles. They were Gentiles. And the Judaizers were trying to draw the Gentiles over to their way of thinking, a Jewish way of thinking. Now, this is so important. We were cursed by sin. We were cursed by sin. But Jesus Christ became a curse for us. Now, Jesus Christ became the curse for us. Now, what does that mean? The Bible says in Deuteronomy, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. It means that Jesus Christ bore the penalty of the curse. Now, because he hath borne the curse, he is now a blessing. Notice this in verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So that which is cursed, that's us under the law, now are made free because we have been delivered from the curse because Jesus Christ bore that curse on the cross of Calvary. Now he is a blessing to all, and we can have that blessing through him. How else can a curse become a blessing? How else can a curse become a blessing? It is made so by Jesus Christ. This is the positive hope that we have. We've all used that expression from one time. Well, that is just a curse. We've heard about the old dust bowls in the 1930s out west. They had a special on not too long ago about the dust bowl and how that inside the homes they had to use shovels after the great dust bowl to scoop out the bedrooms. and they had it everywhere, sand in the closets, their clothes were completely, and how people said they were packing up, they were leaving because they didn't want to be under the curse. Well, they've moved back for the most part. Those days, they've changed the way they do crop rotations over there and how they plow and how they do those things to cut down on the possibility of another dust bowl. But I want to tell you something. The only way you can be delivered from the curse is to be trusting in Jesus Christ. But notice what else. The blessing that he is. For it says here that he was made a curse. Now get the next two words. For us. For us. One time a Sunday school teacher was teaching from this particular passage. And she said, there are two wonderful words in this passage of Scripture, boys and girls. Can you think of the two most wonderful words? Not thinking when she said that. And one of the children said, teacher, ice cream. Well, that's wonderful to a child. But this is like ice cream for the sinner. He was made a curse for whom? For us! That is the good news of the gospel, folks. Jesus Christ has been made the curse for us. We were the ones in sin. The Holy Savior of the universe came and became like unto us, yet without sin. And he bore that curse for us. That is the wonderful, blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That he was the curse for us. And all this blessing is through faith. Two more important words. He was made the curse for us, but the blessing comes, as we find here, the last two words of verse 14, through faith. It's not through law. It's not through keeping the law. It's not by going through rites and ceremonies and going through all the different things that the law might come up with or people might come up with. It is simply through faith. Now, folks, with this blessed hope, you and I can have the blessing of Jesus Christ. We can be counted with blessed Abraham. Amen? We can be counted with him because righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ. It comes no other way. The message that we have for these boys and girls right here, the message that we have for anyone that is lost here, is not come to Jesus and have all your problems go away. It's not if you come to Jesus, you'll have a financial, successful future in front of you. It's not that at all. And people that emphasize that are promoting their own gospel. What these children need here, what our babies need in the nursery, what our teenagers need, what adults need, is righteousness in Christ. That's what we need. That's what our campers are going to need when they come in and walk through these doors every day to come in here for Bible time. They don't need a pat on the back. They need righteousness in Christ. And that only comes from faith in him. And so who are we going to promote in camp this summer? We're not going to promote ourselves. We're going to promote Jesus Christ and him crucified. If we fail to do that, then we might as well shut down the camp. If we stop doing that at Santa Rosa Christian School, let's close the doors. Our kids need righteousness more than they need the three R's. And if we fail as teachers to emphasize the gospel of Christ, then close the arithmetic book, close the English book, we might as well shut the doors because we're no longer a Christian school. You see how important it is? You see how important it is? It doesn't matter how many we graduate. It doesn't matter how smart they are. It doesn't matter if they have a 4.0. What matters is, do they have the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Because you can hold the sheepskin before him and say, I got a 4.0 at a Christian school, and die and go to hell. Because you didn't have what you needed, and that was the righteousness of Christ. That's what they need at Salem Bible Institute and the Christian school in Basin, Haiti. That's what they need at the South India Baptist Bible College way over in Coimbatore, India. That's what they need over the island of Mindanao in the Philippines, where they have the Mindanao Bible Institute and they're training people. Every person that lives upon this world needs this, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, otherwise known in the Bible as justification by faith. Without it, you have no hope. Without it, you don't have the currency to be in the presence of God because you don't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that as we approach summer camp and as we approach the conclusion of a school year and as we approach opportunities that lie before us to present the gospel, whether it be to friends, neighbors that we live near to, whether it be those that we come into contact with, maybe family members, every man, woman, child that lives upon the face of the earth must have the righteousness of Jesus Christ if they're going to die and go to heaven. Now, Lord, the best way we know how tonight, we've shared as simply as possible the gospel message. You cannot bring our righteousness to Thee. It won't be accepted. It's worthless. But we can come before Thee and call upon the name of the Lord and receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what every child, whatever teenager, whatever adult must have in order to stand in the presence of God. We pray, dear Father, for the souls of those that may be here without Christ. Our hearts are burdened for our children. Our hearts are burdened for our teenagers, Lord. Fast approaching high school. Some of them have not made any profession of faith, haven't moved toward Thee. Lord, our hearts are burdened for them, that they trust the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. It's not important how nice we may dress. What's important is, do we have the righteousness of Christ? Father, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would bring about conviction, powerful conviction, Father, conviction that brings salvation. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.